Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 64, and today is Friday, July 13th. Hopefully it's not a bad luck episode. As always, Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, first, a footnote to yesterday's topic, where I was talking about the importance of having side projects, and, I guess two interesting footnotes to that. The first is I shipped my side project. It's called Quick Capture for Cheddar. It's in review right now, and I'll, of course, let you know when it ships. And it's just, like I said, it's a tool for quickly capturing tasks, and it's a tool that I've done before for email-based things, but now that I'm using Cheddar, it was a great little thing that I wanted to use. For just kind of brain dumping and doing them, I guess, in a GTD sense, they'd call it a mental sweep or whatever. But anyway, so I've shipped it, which is always great. But as I was shipping it, it reminded me that I didn't mention one thing that's a very important part for me of side projects. And this is a term or a topic that I learned when I used to do Scrum, which is one of the Agile methods. And I'm not sure if it's actually related to Scrum or if it was just a term we used in the company where I learned to use Scrum, if that makes sense. But basically, what I was what I learned there was the concept of a time box. And a time box is essentially what you do if you have, say, you have a classic problem, a pretty standard problem in software development. You say, I want to build X. Well, how long do you think X will take to build? And whether that's in calendar time, man hours, whatever. But it's like, how long does that take? And, it's an huge problem. Developers are notoriously bad at estimating how long things take. It's almost impossible to really put some handles on that and say, okay, well, this is going to take, this is going to take a day, this is going to take a week, this is going to take a month, this will take a year. I mean, who knows? And so one of the things we used to do for tasks that were, had many undefineds, that were they're experimental or exploratory, is that rather than taking the usual process of saying, okay, this is a task, I'm going to estimate it at 8 hours, put it in the backlog, pick it up. What we would do is we'd say, we're going to do two things. We're going to do a spike on the task, and we're going to time box it. And I'm going to unpack those two terms. So a spike, what we meant is, you'll often hear people use the word minimum viable product. It's similar to that in some ways. But the goal is to be narrow and deep rather than wide and sort of broad and shallow. And by that I mean it's to sort of really sort of focusing in the concept of what it is you're trying to accomplish and making that so narrow that you can make tremendous progress in terms of speed. And, as an example, in this application I wrote in Quick Capture, you just throw away all kinds of things that could distract or make it more difficult. So I say, okay, I'm not going to do an iPad version now. It'll just be iPhone only. I'm going to punt on a couple of things that could otherwise take more time or be more complicated. So for example, rather than having a settings app built into my application, I'm going to use a settings bundle. Perfectly valid, in many ways even more consistent with the HIG. And all that, but it means that I just put together a plist with a few notes and entries, and there we go. I got my settings app in a few minutes, and it's kind of focusing down your efforts into really the core functionality, what it is the problem you're trying to solve, and by doing that, you really help yourself sort of really drive quickly towards the goal of actually shipping something, and then time boxing, and this is probably more important, and this is. The reason I brought it up was this morning when I was in the shower and I was thinking about what I said yesterday. And I was like, I didn't mention time boxing. And time boxing is a great concept. And basically what time boxing is rather than saying, how long do I think this thing will take? It's how much time am I willing to spend on this? Which is a different question. It's more a question of sort of the value, perceived value of your time, the perceived value of the task and what it accomplishes. And so rather than having it be, how long is this going to take? I say, okay, I'm going to give myself a certain amount of time to work on this. And for the purposes of this task, I was like, I'm going to give myself about 16 hours, about 2 days of regular work. And if I can't get something done in that amount of time, I'll need to reevaluate. And the purpose of doing that is that it's not so much that you are, you know, limiting yourself in what you do, but you're limiting almost your room for catastrophe. You're limiting your ability to get stuck in a rut or stuck in a place where you end up spending way too much time on something. So you know, you kind of end up avoiding going down, you know, rabbit holes or bunny trails or, like, you know, all kinds of things like that, where, you know, you say, okay, this is I'm going to give myself 16 hours to work on this, and that's it. And after 16 hours, I need to either decide if I'm going to keep going, and if I am, I need to give myself another time box. I'll say, okay, I'm going to give myself another 8 hours, another day, whatever. Or I'll say, you know, I thought it would be fun. Turns out, 16 hours in, I've got, like, nothing done, and it's a mess. Maybe this is not for me. I'll just, you know, can the project or shelve it or, you know, see what I want to do next. And for me, I found that to be really productive in keeping me focused. It's kind of like the Parkinson's Law, if you're not familiar with it, is essentially the time it takes to complete a task will always grow to fill the time allocated to that task. Or put another way, if you give yourself 10 hours to do something, it'll take 10 hours. If you give yourself 20 hours to do something, it'll take 20 hours. And to a certain degree, that's just the way the human nature works. And so by pulling that down, and rather than saying, I'm going to start this project and I'll be done when I'm done, you say, I've got 16 hours. I've got 2 days. I better get working. I better make a lot of progress on this very quickly. Otherwise, I'm going to be stuck, or otherwise I'm going to have to abandon it. And that urgency is great. And, you know, in this case, it's like, you know, worked on shipping an app. It took about 16 hours. I think I maybe have gone slightly over. I think 16 hours happened maybe 2 hours before I shipped. But at that point, it was mostly the time I had left was sort of the marketing stuff, of, you know, taking the screenshots and trimming them and writing the copy for the website and things. So it wasn't like, you know, there weren't development tasks in that way. And so at that point, I was like, well, I'll just sort of give myself the next 2 hours, which that's the point. The goal is not that I'm cutting myself off then, but it's being mindful of that so that it's not like in 2 weeks from now, I'm like, huh, maybe this wasn't the best use of my time. Maybe I've kind of gotten sucked into something. And you can apply time boxing to a lot of concepts where it can be to small tasks, it can be to projects, it can be to an update. It can even be on really small things. Sometimes I do it, and this is kind of borrowed from the Pomodoro technique, which if you're not familiar with it, just search Pomodoro technique, which is very much your kind of focus your time and I'm going to work for 25 minutes and then take a break, 25 minutes and take a break. And what often I find works really well for me is sometimes I'll be like, I think this feature is worth it. I think this feature is fun. I think people would like it. Maybe I'll give myself a couple of hours and just try it and focus on just getting the barely working and then see if it is actually fun, see if it is actually useful, like when I actually put it on my phone and play with it. And this is a reason I often really don't get into a lot of like Photoshop pixel perfect mockups and all those kinds of things that some people like. For me, it's like I just want to feel it and touch it, and often I'll just say, okay, you know, I think this new feature would really work. I think people would really like this. Maybe I'll just throw it together and time box it and say, hey, I'm going to spend an hour on this. And in an hour, I look at it and I'm like, wouldn't you? Now I can make a better decision. Because the goal is that at the end of it, I have more information to make a better decision about how I spend my time. So anyway, those are just a few footnotes on side projects. If you didn't listen to yesterday's show, 63 Side Projects Internationalization, definitely give that a listen. I'll have a link in the show notes to it, or just developingperspective.com, or search Developing Perspective 63. And okay, so the second topic I was going to talk to today is iCloud and iCloud syncing, and specifically talking a little bit about a process that I'm about to begin for my recipe book of taking the app and making it sync across servers. And it's a, you know, core database application. Sort of my first gut, and when I first started this, my initial thought was, oh, I'll just do this with iCloud. That's what iCloud's for. They have this great thing. And I was at WWDC, and he was like, add 3 lines of code to your persistent SOAR coordinator, and you're done. I'm like, sweet, that's great. And you plug it in, you kind of even, you know, obviously realize, actually, it's not 3 lines of code. You have to do a bunch of other stuff, but you get it all working. And it's kind of a mess, and it sort of works, and sometimes it doesn't. And then you read blog posts, and you go to talks by people who are smarter than you, who've spent a lot more time on it, and they're talking about all the trouble they're having with Core Data and iCloud. iCloud seems like if you can do all your syncing in the key value store, you're golden. The key value store works perfectly and flawlessly. And I've done that in my applications. I've done some stuff, you know, preferences syncing, a little bit of data syncing, but not really like data, just sort of user information. All that stuff works amazingly on Core Data. It's ridiculously fast. It never seems to get out of sync, doesn't really seem to have any problems. And I think a large part of that is that it has a server reference model rather than this weird transaction log approach that they use for Core Data, where they're like replaying logs from side to side. But that's not really the point. The point is that at this point, I'm kind of weary to go down the path of using iCloud for my Core Data Sync for my users, because, and this is I think the more interesting part. Apple, I'm a freeloader in that model, on Apple. You know, Apple is the one who's building this infrastructure and made building this platform and this way for users to sync information back and forth, and that's great. And I'm glad they provide it, and that's cool. But the problem is, Apple's not my customer in that. You know, my end user is Apple's customer, and I'm doing this thing via Apple that my customer is going to rely on. But if something goes wrong, they're going to blame me, not Apple. But I can't fix it; only Apple can. And so that's a bit of an awkward situation. And it's got me thinking about two other products. There's one called Parse, and there's one called Simperium. Again, I'll have links in the show notes. And they're businesses who exist for the sole purpose of taking iOS applications and helping you sync data between them. Parse does a bit more than that. That's pretty much all Simperium does. And they charge you for it. You know, they'll charge me a couple $100 a month or whatever it is. And I like that. I like that I'm not a freeloader there. I'm a customer. If something's wrong, I call up Simperium and say, hey, I do this, this, and this, and I don't get the good right data out. Or this merge fails in a weird way. Why is that? And it's their job, and their existence and their success is based on them giving me a really good answer to that. For why does it do that? Oh, huh, that's a bug. Or, you're doing it wrong. Let me see your code. In a way that Apple just isn't. I'm not Apple's customer. I'm a freeloader there, in a true sense. I don't mean that in like a derogatory sense of, oh, I'm freeloading. But that's just the reality of it. I'm not Apple's customer. I'm just kind of taking advantage of something they do. And so for something like data sync, there are so many different problems that can go wrong. I mean, there are hundreds of things that can go wrong with sync that makes me feel really nervous. And I feel like I'm going to use Core Data and I'm going to use iCloud in my syncing solution. But it'll be like I'll use iCloud to sync super simple things. Like I have a collection of images that you sort of each recipe, for example, can have some pictures associated with it. Perfect thing for iCloud sync. They're all uniquely identified by the MD5 of the file name of the file. Perfect. You just throw those in, make them share documents, and as best I understand, iCloud should sync them. If somehow they don't sync, if a file ends up missing, okay, not great for the user, but not the end of the world. It's not like corrupting data in the same way. But so anyway, those are just some thoughts I had that I was kind of like, huh, I've had this anxiety about using iCloud for syncing. And I think it crystallized in my head. That's like, I'm not Apple's customer for this. I'm using this very complicated, sophisticated networking system that has really no accountability. That there's no one at Apple who I can call and be like, hey, buddy, I'm paying you a bunch of money. You better make this work. And if you don't, I'm going to take my business elsewhere. There's nobody I can do that with. And so that's just it kind of makes me nervous and kind of makes me worried. And so that's where I'm going to be going. I think I'm going to start with Simperium and try it. If that doesn't work, I'll go to Parse probably. But, it's kind of great. And there's all these other options and things that it could potentially open up by doing this. A lot of these things have web APIs that if I wanted to, I could also write a web application that ties into the same data or all kinds of other things that are just not possible within Apple's closed model. So anyway, a few thoughts, hope you have a good weekend. That's it for today's show. As always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, by all means, hit me up on Twitter. I'm _DavidSmith on Twitter. And the Twitter feed for this show is DevPerspective. And otherwise, I hope you have a good weekend. I'll see you next week, and happy coding. Bye.